It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays losing a tough one again tonight as they fall to the Red Sox 6-5 the final, as Alex Verdugo drives in the game-winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning with a single off the Green Monster. The Red Sox trailed the Blue Jays 5-1 going into the bottom of the sixth, but they would score three in that frame. They would get a game-tying homer from Christian Arroyo in the bottom of the eighth, and then they get the Verdugo game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth to win game one of this four-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. You can send us your text. 59590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. You can also get us on Twitter at WongSN590, at JGoldberg12. I imagine, Josh, we're going to be getting a lot of comments tonight once again about the bullpen. We're going to be getting some comments about some poor hitting with runners in the scoring position. This one was setting up to be a pretty positive night. We had Ross Stripling with another strong start going into that bottom of the sixth inning before, you know, with two outs, things sort of unraveled for him. He still, you know, pitched very solid for the Blue Jays this evening despite the final numbers. You had Vladimir Guerrero Jr. having a great night at the plate, going 3-for-4, hitting his major league leading 19th homer of the season. And all of that stuff doesn't matter because the Blue Jays lose this one with another bullpen meltdown with Tyler Chatwood and Carl Edwards Jr. coming into some big spots here. What's your initial thoughts on what we saw tonight in Boston?
So I said the other night in Chicago when they got gifted that win in some ways that was the signature win so far of the season, best win of the season. And there's been a lot of rubble to sift through in terms of tough losses this year. This takes the cake. This is brutal. Every level of ineptitude to me was filled tonight. You scored 5 runs on 16 hits. That is, I can't comprehend how bad that is. I understand that there was some Fenway Park involved there with a lot of hard hit balls that were singles because of Fenway Park's a dump, and that's just the way the park is. But still, you had a bunch of opportunities throughout the ball game to cash in runners, bases loaded there in the ninth with or second and third, certainly. Yeah, the runner on third with one out. All you needed was a ball in play. And Gurriel strikes out, and then obviously what happened with Riley Adams. But there were plenty of opportunities to cash in runs throughout the night. 13 left on, 4-for-15 with runners in scoring position. Stinks. It's just, I keep thinking, there's no way that they're going to find a new, more torturous way to introduce their fans to losing baseball. And this was it. This was it. This checked every box. Stripling was great, and you still lost. Bullpen was terrible. Romano appears to be hurt. Manager said he was fine. It seems like he's not fine. He wasn't warming in a situation where you would have expected to see him. Just a disaster. What's the Pompeo, the old the volcano back in ancient times in Italy. That's how I feel right now about this game.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I think as poor as the hitting with runners in scoring position was, especially late in the ball game, you mentioned Riley Adams coming in a spot there with an opportunity to drive in runs. He actually came in a spot as well in the seventh inning where they had runners at second and third, and Kevin Biggio struck out, and then Riley Adams struck out as a pinch hitter. Numerous opportunities to drive in some extra runs, some go-ahead runs potentially late in the ball game. It's a tough spot for a young guy like that to come in and make something happen. So I can give him a break there, coming in halfway through this ball game. But I think for me, this just comes back to the bullpen once again. And we talked about it last night. If you're Ross Atkins, how can you watch what's going on right now and not try to do something, even if it's not, go out and make a trade for Richard Rodriguez or someone like that? It's just pretty evident right now. You need some reinforcements, especially if Jordan Romano is hurt. We're going to find out from Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoya when he speaks to the media. But whether it's you got to go to Buffalo and, Patrick Murphy's got to get up here. Not saying he's going to be a savior, but he's someone that has pitched in the major leagues before, has some good stuff. Maybe that's someone that you can lean on. Maybe you have to go to Thomas Hatch, who can give you multiple innings and at least give you some relief in that sense as well, as he continues to work his way back to the majors. I know some people have brought up Nate Pearson as an option. I don't think that's going to happen. It's pretty evident that they want him to be a starter. They're stretching him out. He just pitched the other night going, what, six innings, I think, and pitched pretty well. So that's the track that he's still going to be on. But with the way this pen is going right now, it's just trending in the wrong direction. You've gotten some moments here or there. They're pretty fleeting, though, of, you know, positive outcomes from the pen. Because once again, we talked about it before. When he was healthy, at least Jordan Romano, and we're just speculating at this point, he didn't, you know, appear in the ballgame this evening. But Charlie Montoyo's really only got a guy and a half that he can trust right now. And the half of the guy we saw was Rafael Dolis there in the bottom of the ninth. And it wasn't his fault that Bo Bichette had a throwing error that allowed, Enrique Hernandez to end up at second base before Alex Verdugo singled in the game-winning run there. But just shows you how thin things are for Charlie Montoyo. And I know a lot of people want to lay the blame at his feet tonight for his options and where he went. But this is what he has to work with. That's sort of the situation that he's been put on. I think, you know, earlier we could have qualms about some of the decision-making for when he went to certain guys. And, you know, maybe if you thought, you know, why are you going to Carl Edwards Jr. in that spot? Why are you not going to, you know, Rafael Dolis? It's still a tie game. You're up a run. It's a high leverage situation. You know, you kind of just put out the flyers until you have to deal with it later. I can understand if you have an issue with that, but this is just the state of the pen. And until he gets some help, Charlie Montoyo does, these are the options that he's going to be left with. And so far, at least of late, Josh, it's been a tire fire at times.
Yeah, well, so I'm always down to blame the manager for pushing the wrong buttons in terms of the bullpen machinations. But so you pulled Stripling. I honestly wouldn't have minded Stripling getting another shot in that situation against a right-handed batter. He was only at 80 or so pitches. And it's just, okay, so Tyler Chatwood's coming in at a leverage spot. He hasn't really earned it, I don't think. Again, he's had, I guess, two decent outings, but Charlie clearly is very confident and wants him to get it back, but I just don't think that that's going to happen. Obviously, that didn't really work out, and then they go to Meza, which worked out. He was good. He got Kike Hernandez. I didn't love that decision because Kike usually kills lefties, but that worked out. And then it's just there's not a wealth of options. And with Romano obviously unavailable tonight, it totally changed the trickle down effect, where you probably would have gone to Dolis after Edwards got the strikeout there of Hunter Renfro, I believe it was, to end the inning. And like, I just, with your best reliever unavailable tonight, I can't get that upset. I understand you want to blame the manager every single time the bullpen melts down. The bullpen stinks right now. So no matter who he goes to, what are you expecting on a night-to-night basis where you're asking these guys for somewhere in the range or neighborhood of nine outs, especially when Romano's unavailable? It's just you're kind of closing your eyes, saying a prayer, and hoping for the best. And when that doesn't happen, you could say, oh, well, why didn't you go to this guy in that situation instead of this guy in that situation? And okay, I get it. That's your right to do it and feel free. But the manager is so far from being the reason that they lost this baseball game tonight. The bullpen needs to be addressed. If you want this season to be anywhere in a meaningful sense in a month, you have to make bullpen improvements right away. You can make your roster better. You got a great farm system. You could acquire control. You could acquire, you know, players, pitchers with no control at the end of the year. They're free agents. There's no shortage of opportunity or avenues to go if you view yourself as a team that wants to make a little bit of noise. And I just think that the next, I don't know, let's say 7 to 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, will be very interesting to see in particular what that bullpen looks like.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, when George Springer comes back, it's going to help the offense. And, you know, maybe they go from a situation where tonight, you know, instead of scoring five runs, they're scoring, you know, eight runs. And we're not, you know, talking about this. But if you have aspirations of wanting to be a good team, if you're leading 5-1 going into the sixth inning and at least 5-2 at that point with two outs in the sixth, if you're a good team, you should be able to shut it down because you should have a pretty good bullpen. But that's just not the case right now. I mean, how many people felt, you know, at that point when Tyler Chatwood came in that, this has a chance to go sideways. And then coming out of that inning, even with the 5-4 lead, it just felt this is fleeting. This is a situation where, you know, the Blue Jays have to get 9 more outs here. And do you trust the bullpen to do it? And ultimately tonight, it did not happen. The Red Sox were able to come back and win it. But, you know, once again, if you're Ross Atkins and you're watching this, yeah, you're hopeful George Springer comes back soon and can provide more offense that, you know, can give your bullpen just a little bit more relief, give your starting pitching a little bit more relief. But I get that you maybe don't want to pay the sky-high prices for some of these guys at this moment, but you've got such a tough stretch here over the next little while with the Red Sox, and then you've got the Yankees, that you can't afford to get dominated in these games and fall back even further. Sure, you can feast on the Orioles and the Marlins coming up, but still, at this point, you know, with this stretch right now, you have to do something here to at least give your team an opportunity to win some of these games and stay in the fight here when it comes to the AL East. Because tonight, once again, I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're feasting on the Orioles, a 4-2 win. They've got 40 wins already on the season, and maybe, you know, they're too far ahead at this point to catch up, because they are seemingly a very strong team. But losing these games to the Red Sox, especially when you have a lead in this one, definitely a tough pill to swallow. You can text us 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We'll read those throughout Jay's talk here as we're with you until 11:30. Let's actually go to the text line right now, because I imagine there's going to be a lot that we need to get to, Josh. So let's begin with a few here. Robert in Ajax says, although it's just June, do you think there's a possibility the Blue Jays make a trade for a reliever because this bullpen is a disaster? We both agree, Josh, that they have to do it. I honestly don't know how quickly it's going to happen. I would love to wake up tomorrow and, you know, see something on, you know, MLB trade rumors, or see something from Ken Rosenthal or whoever that says the Blue Jays have made a deal to acquire this pitcher. But, you know, realistically, like, if you put the truth serum into your own body, when do you think Ross Atkins and the Blue Jays would even be willing to entertain something? Because we know front offices are generally more realistic than fans and even media at times. They tend to take a bigger approach with situations like this. And I can't imagine Ross Atkins is the type to see that and, you know, hit the panic button. It's like calling up, you know, Pittsburgh right now, and I'm trying to get these relievers to Boston tomorrow. But when do you think the earliest we might actually see something get done?
Well, it's June the 11th right now, certainly before the end of the month at the latest, I would think. The deadline is July the 31st. I get that, you know, certain teams, especially with relievers with control, because those are usually the ones that are going to net more of a return, you might want to wait if you're that type of general manager in terms of drumming up more interest in a bidding war situation. But if the Jays make their interest known to some of these teams and just say, okay, this is what we're interested in dealing. What do you think of certain guys in certain spots here? Let's see if we can find something that works both ways. There's no way that there's not going to be some common ground, especially for, I really continue to just bang the drum for relievers who are done at the end of the year in terms of the contract. That's just, it's not going to cost that much. I listed a bunch the other day. You don't need to blow the doors off necessarily with somebody who comes in and throws 100, but can just come in a variety of different spots and get outs, whether it's strikeouts, whatever it is, just can be competent in the bullpen, because right now there's just not a ton of competency and confidence emulating out of that bullpen. It's not overflowing right now. And I continue to just really lament the loss of David Phelps. It's just such a huge loss. You could just envision him throwing a ton of strikes and attacking with confidence in a situation like tonight. And the Jays just don't have guys who come into the game outside of Romano for the most part that just come in and don't really nibble, or they're not caught in between certain pitches, and, you know, confidence is an issue. They just don't have enough guys who come in and just let it eat and figure it out and trust their stuff. Maybe it's because the stuff isn't good enough, and I think that probably is part of it, but you can't just continue trotting the same bullpen pieces out there and expecting a different result. We're going on 2 months of bad bullpen results in terms of ERA and WHIP, and a lot of the guys who were around at points in May and at least certainly in May, are now injured and not making an impact. So I just think that hoping that guys will start to pitch better, we're past that now. Maybe that happens a bit, but you have to augment this bullpen with outside quality major league relief help.
Yeah, and Tyler Chatwood, I said it during the game on Twitter. I can't remember the last time I have seen a reliever go from just completely legit lights out, like the way he was pitching for the first couple months of the season, to where now he's just completely erratic. And you really don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. I mean, the last two outings for him were an inning and a third of scoreless ball with a couple of strikeouts, no walks, and you thought, maybe he turned the corner, and then he came in tonight and just completely lost it again, like he did recently. Reminded me of that outing against Cleveland, of course, where he walked five in just an inning and a third, and it's just completely crazy to see how much he has fallen off after where he was at the beginning of the season as, you know, one of, if not the best relievers on this team. I know Kevin, from Bowmanville, chimes in on the text line, 59590, says Chatwood was excellent in his last outing against the White Sox, but clearly with two men on in the tying run at the plate, not the time to bring him in. He has struggled heavily with control, especially in pressured situations. There were two outs, so we don't need swing and miss stuff to get out of the inning. Bring someone in that can throw strikes in the bottom of the order. I think it was a situation, Josh, where, you know, there was righties up at that point, and instead of going to Tim Mayza, Charlie Montoyo obviously wanted to go to Tyler Chatwood, one of the few guys I guess he still has confidence in and hoping that he can turn it around. But I'm starting to wonder now, you know, Tyler Chatwood moving forward, obviously not going to be brought in you know, any high leverage situations, but is this a spot now where maybe he's a guy that you need to have him come in at the start of an inning with nobody on, as opposed to having runners at base on base and trying to pitch him his way out of that? Is that maybe a situation we see with Tyler Chatwood moving forward?
So I would say if you have to finesse the usage of a reliever, then I don't want that reliever on my team. If you kind of have to use kid gloves and you don't trust him outside of the lowest leverage spots where, I guess, like, if you can't come on and put out a fire, so you're pitching in the sixth inning of a clean game if somebody goes out in the fifth, or I like, do you even really want him in the seventh? If he can't do the job with a man or two on base, then I just don't think that I want that type of pitcher on my team. And you could say that about a lot of the bullpen pieces right now that would get the call at any given time outside of really Romano, as we continue to bang the drum that he's the only reliable reliever. I wonder where we're at with Tyler Chatwood. Is it a DFA situation? I don't think so. I wouldn't be shocked, but I could see a IL stint, and I put it in quotes, where you just kind of maybe take a step back, you clear a roster spot for somebody maybe like a Patrick Murphy, and then he just goes to the performance complex, or maybe stays on the road, works with Pete Walker. I don't know, but he, again, was just so bad tonight in terms of any sort of feel for his stuff in any situation. He was missing all over the place. I don't really know what you do at this point, but I don't think you can continue trotting him out in really any situation, but any situation of mild to moderate leverage, and expect him to do the job, because he really hasn't done the job in going on a month.
I think what's adding to, you know, the craziness of where Tyler Chatwood is right now with his pitches is that, you know, it's not as if this guy who, you know, throws three pitches, he throws the cutter, throws the two seamer with a ton of movement, and he can throw a breaking ball as well. It's not as if, okay, he's just struggling with the cutter, or he's struggling with the sinker, or he's struggling with the breaking ball. He's struggling with all three of his pitches. Like, he just does not have any feel for any of his pitches right now. And that is a situation that is definitely worrying. You know, how are you supposed to put a guy out there who, you know, can't get any of his pitches over for quality strikes? You know, maybe, yeah, he can take a little bit off and throw it down the middle of the plate, but that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy to go in there and throw some quality pitches, and that's just not the case right now for Tyler Chatwood, who, you know, walks a batter, hits a couple of guys, throws one to the backstop. Just a wild, wild night for Tyler Chatwood. Let's answer this one as well, because I'm sure some people are curious about it there in the bottom of the ninth. Brennan from Victoria says, bullpen implosion aside, I'm scratching my head about Montoyo's late game automatic defensive changes. Playing in Fenway bounces off the Green Monster looming. Why are you taking out Lourdes Gurriel Jr. when he's leading the MLB in outfield assists? Well, Gurriel Jr. was over at first base because they took Rowdy Tellez out. They pinch ran for him in the top of the ninth with Jonathan Davis to try to stay out of the double play. And Vladdy was the DH, so he wasn't available. And the backup first baseman, or I guess the third string first baseman, is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. He's played there a few times in his career at the major league level. In that situation, I can't even blame Lourdes, because it was just a bad throw by Bo Bichette on a routine play. And, you know, this feels like one of those nights we're just hammering in all the negatives and it's all creeping back up. But, you know, I've said it before. For me, with Bo Bichette, I don't think he's ever going to be a spectacular defensive shortstop. He's definitely gotten a lot better since his issues at the beginning of the season. But you have to make the routine plays. I'm not asking you to dive in the hole and make these, you know, Derek Jeter running throws, or, you know, stuff that we saw Troy Tulowitzki, you know, do with the Rockies and even with the Blue Jays at the later stage of his career. But a routine ground ball to shortstop, you cannot sail the throw to first base. That's just too lazy for me. That's a guy that's not, you know, staying with the fundamentals. He's just getting a little too lax over there. I know it was raining. Maybe the ball was wet. Maybe it slipped out. But I think we've seen too many times routine grounders to short that have no business becoming errors or becoming misplays are becoming that for Bo this year. So that's obviously stuff that he needs to get out of his game and needs to work on. But as far as why Lourdes was outed left and over at first base, that's why we saw it in the...
Yeah, I'm not gonna beat up on Lourdes too much. The throw is terrible. Like, you're a good shortstop has to make that play, and you don't even think twice about it. It shouldn't even be a remote possibility that play is not going to get made. And you could say, well, why make that? Why put Davis in? You can't manage and just think, well, I need to also keep an eye on the crystal ball. You got to manage what's in front of you in that situation. So, like, I understand not super ideal to have Lourdes at first base because his arm in left field is certainly a weapon. But if that play gets made, who knows? Maybe the baseball game is still going on. That just it was the other night in Chicago, another routine play not made. He got off to a really rocky start in the field at short, Bichette. He's gotten a lot better. There's been not as many issues, but it's been creeping back in, certainly over the last couple of days. Can't happen, right? And there's just no excuse for it. If you want to be one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball and paid like one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, those are the plays that just have to get made. No questions asked. And then obviously you got to start making more of the tough plays, but the easy plays always have to be made, and it wasn't made tonight.
Absolutely. The Blue Jays losing to the Red Sox 6-5 tonight in the opener of their four-game series, as the Red Sox get 3 in the sixth, 1 in the eighth, and 1 in the bottom of the ninth to come back and beat the Blue Jays. We've got an update on Jordan Romano from Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo. We'll tell you what that is when Jays Talk continues. Brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Vlad the Impaler, Vlad the Destroyer, Vlad the Conqueror. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
0-2 pitch hit high in the air, deep left center field, gone! Vladdy's big night continues as he hits a bomb over the monster for a two-run homer.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with a big night for the Blue Jays, but overshadowed, of course, as the bullpen coughs one up and Blue Jays fall to the Red Sox 6-5. Alex Verdugo with the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. Vladdy, though, with that 19th homer of the season, leading the major leagues, went 3-for-4 on the evening as his magical season continues. The Blue Jays actually had 16 hits in this one, but went 4-for-15 with runners in scoring position, had a lot of chances late in the ballgame to score a potential insurance run, some go-ahead runs as well, but it was not meant to be as the Red Sox come back and win this one. You can text us 59590, give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the game tonight. But I mentioned we would have an update on Jordan Romano from Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo, and in his Zoom availability, Montoyo said, quote, Jordan Romano not available tonight, and then he has forearm tightness, Josh, which something that you want to hear. We, of course, saw Jordan Romano leave the game the other night, and you know the speculation was it was something to do with his finger. He was looking at his hand, came out of the ball game, of course, after throwing 21 pitches, finishing that eighth inning, did not come out for the ninth, as Tim Mayza had to finish that one off against the White Sox the other night. He was in the bullpen tonight, obviously wasn't available. No IL move, hasn't been one post game either, so don't really have a big time update there, but it doesn't seem like we'll get an idea until tomorrow as to what may happen here with Jordan Romano. But forearm tightness is it's up there on the list of things that you do not want to hear when it comes to pitchers.
What can you even say at this point? I'm borderline about to have a nervous breakdown on the radio just at this amount of negative vibes that are coming out. This game was a terrible loss, the way that it went, the bullpen again, and we're talking about your one reliable relief arm, and now he's got forearm tightness. And maybe it's just something you back him off and he'll be good to go in a couple of days. But how many times has forearm tightness led to anything good? It's just not something that you ever feel great about. And Charlie also said, where do we go from here? And I would like to know the answer to that question as well, because Romano's probably not going to be available for, let's just say at the very least, very conservatively, say the rest of this series against the Red Sox. Who the hell are you going to in any leverage spots? Like, let's say you have a lead again tomorrow. You're leading at 4-2 after six innings, and I believe it's Steven Matz pitching tomorrow. He gives you six quality innings, sort of the same way Ross Stripling did tonight. How are you piecing it together? Who's getting the ninth inning? It's all just swirling right now in the toilet of my brain, and do you have to go out and make a deal pronto? I think you do if you fancy yourself trying to stay above water here and not just hemorrhage wins and ground in the standings. Then you got to go out and do something as soon as humanly possible. I know it's easier said than done, but losing Romano it's a non-starter. You can't just try and soldier on, call up Patrick Murphy and Thomas Hatch and something like that. You're not replacing Jordan Romano, and you're probably not replacing him on the trade market either, but go out there and see if you can bring in somebody that can come in and do a reliable job in big spots out of the pen.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we had just spoken about it in the first segment that, maybe you're not hitting the panic button and making a deal immediately tonight, but that was before we found out that Jordan Romano is dealing with forearm tightness. So maybe that move is expedited a little bit quickly here by Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins. At the very least, I think we would all be surprised if someone does not make the trip to Boston tomorrow to try to at least help out this Blue Jays bullpen that has been taxed, that has been struggling. We're going to see some new relievers over the next few days. I would feel pretty confident in that, especially if something has to happen here with Jordan Romano. That's an obvious situation, but just really, really bad right now for this Blue Jays bullpen, which continues to struggle and continues to deal with a myriad of injuries to a lot of their top guys. I mean, we've already seen life without Julian Merriweather, Ryan Borucki, David Phelps. I mean, Tyler Chatwood was already on the IL for a bit. Same with Jordan Romano. It's just been an absolute mess for the bullpen this year with injuries. I mean, Rafael Tatis was out for a bit. I guess the bigger question is, who hasn't been injured? Which Blue Jays reliever has been fully healthy so far this season? I think that's pretty difficult to figure out at this point. So we'll play the full Charlie Montoyo post-game audio for you coming up in a second here. But let's go back to the text line, 590-590. Give us your name and your location. Let's see. John in Mississauga right now, he's not very happy. Let's just put it that way. He says, Montoyo making horrid decisions, period. No reason to remove Stripling when he did. No reason to pinch hit McGuire, who actually was having a good game, to a guy still trying to figure out where I can't say that on the air. Good thing I didn't read that. But not a great situation for John in Mississauga right now. But what did you think of the Stripling situation, taking him out in the sixth inning? And you know, I think we both know where we're going to go here with this on Rhys McGuire being taken out against a lefty. But your thoughts on John's text there?
I would have kept Stripling in. I understand that he didn't execute. I think he was ahead of Renfro 0-2 and then just kind of let things slip away a little bit. But it was still a 5-2 game. He was under 90 pitches. He had been good. We're still talking about not really the meat of the order in that situation, right? You're not talking about seeing Martinez or Verdugo or anyone, or Devers, obviously. But, you know, obviously Charlie felt Chatwood was the better fit in that situation instead of Stripling pitching to Christian Arroyo. It did not work out. I disagreed with it. I thought Stripling earned the benefit of the doubt with the way he's pitched of late to try and finish that sixth inning.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with the way he's been going of late as well, you make a good point there. He definitely deserved a chance to do it. But, you know, I said it at the time. I didn't hate the Chatwood thing. I didn't hate going to him. It just obviously turned out to be a disaster in that spot. But, you know, revisionist history, you know, maybe Ross Stripling gives up a 3-run bomb or something. And we're talking about why Ross Stripling was still in the game at that point. But we'll get back to the text momentarily. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. But right now, let's hear from the Blue Jays manager. Here is Charlie Montoyo following the 6-5 loss.
Starting, Charlie, with Tyler Chatwood. I know after a couple of the recent tough outings, you said you wanted to continue giving him opportunities, but where do you go from this point with him?
Yeah, I mean, his last two outings were really good. He was like back to where he was the first 2 months. That's why it was easy, yeah. Chatty, get me 4 outs. Yeah, but it seems like he somehow lost it again. And, you know, I don't know where we go from here. We got to see. I'm sure Pete Walker is going to work with him and stuff. But, yeah, that was tough to see because he was so good. And then his last two outings were really good, like back to nasty Chatwood. And then today he looks like he lost it. His command was everywhere.
Bigger picture, Charlie, on the bullpen, what does this bullpen need right now? I mean, beyond getting guys out, beyond strikeouts and the obvious things, do you need a long guy? Do you
we need to do a better job. I mean, that's I'm telling you, the name of the game is pitching to win the American League East and in baseball, you know. And by the way, Romano was out with a tight forearm, so we didn't have him today, by the way. That's why you saw something kind of different there. But, you know, we're hoping, you know, Chatwood 4 outs, Mesa for the top, for the two lefties, and Dolis there at the end. But, you know, Bullpen's got to do the job. Somebody got to pick up the slack.
And then just quickly on Romano, is that something where he's having testing done on that, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, he came out with a tight forearm today, so he was out. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
Thank you,
Charlie. Yeah, we don't need to lose him, that's for sure.
Hey, Charlie, Chatwood had been the guy if you needed sort of that mid-inning leverage situation, come in and clean up a mess. Like, he'd been that guy. Just not having someone reliable in that kind of role to come in and kill a rally, you know, how does that impact your bullpen management?
It's not easy, Chaya, as you know, because he was really good the last two outings, you know, so now it was perfect. Give me 4 outs because, you know, and then when you lose that, like, somebody's got to pick up the slack, you know, that we got what we got. You know, but the arms, we still get good arms, but somebody's got to do it, you know, and so we'll see. I don't know where we go from here. Just our guys in the bullpen, they need to do the job. You know, that's just what it is.
Right. And using Carl Edwards in a bit of a leverage spot there, was that just the way things had lined up or no real other options there?
Yeah. I mean, Romano was out, so now Dolis got to pitch the ninth. So Edwards had to pitch in that inning, you know. And that's one of the things, you're putting guys in different spots because that's all we got. You know what I'm saying? So these guys have to pick up the slack. That's just it, you know. We're not going to be looking for people. That's what we got.
Also, just on kind of having to use Edwards, who was like a minor league free agent just a couple weeks ago, in a situation like that, do you think that kind of speaks to how injured this bullpen is and how kind of few options you have right now?
I mean, I can sit here and point fingers and we're not doing the job. I know you guys know that, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we got, and they need to do a better job. That's just it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to pick on guys and stuff. That's just, you know, these are bullpen and we need to do a better job. You know what I'm saying?
Charlie, with Ross Stripling pitching well against the Red Sox team that really roughed him up the last time he faced them, you know, what do you take from that in terms of, you know, the changes that he's made and how effective they could possibly be?
Great, Chai, great adjustment. And then to face his team again that got him last time, he made a great job. That's three straight good outings, you know, and the more he pitches, the more deeper he's going to get. And he was, again, outstanding today.
Hey, Charlie, just very quickly on Vladdy and that home run that he had there in the sixth inning. What was your view of that? And how impressive is it when a guy can pull his hands in and get a pitch that's up and in like that?
Impressive. That's just you. That's the word I could use. Impressive. The guy, it's 97 miles per hour. So the guy threw one by him, and he figured, I'm going to throw him another one, and he just got to it. That's not that easy to do. And to hit it that high and that hard, yeah, that was impressive.
There is Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo, and I wish Charlie we were talking more about the Vladdy Jr. home run as well tonight. But in the end, it was not enough as the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 6-5. When we continue on Jays Talk, we will read more of your text sentiment. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. We're brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, and you're listening to the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hi, this is Danny Jansen, and you're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling to the Red Sox 6-5 in the series opener of this four-game set from Fenway Park. Game 2 goes tomorrow afternoon. It is a 4:10 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Steven Matz taking on Canada's own Nick Pivetta. Here with you until the bottom of the hour. Still time for you to send in your text. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. Saw this one from Peter in Woodbridge. Josh says, I think the Jays players need to be more serious during tense moments such as the eighth inning. Vladdy and some of the players were seen on TV laughing and joking while we gave up our lead. Sure, Vladdy showed emotion by slamming his glove at the end of the game. Most of other times, him, Gurriel Jr., and other players are always laughing and joking. Time to get serious, says Peter in Woodbridge. Your thoughts?
I don't care. Like, if you're cracking fart jokes, jokes of any kind, laughing, serious, steely-eyed, whatever facial expression, I don't give a rat's behind. Win baseball games. I don't care. I don't think that there's any discernible advantage or disadvantage to being lighthearted or super serious in the dugout. That doesn't matter to me at all. Performing in big spots matters to me. And if guys perform, if they've got a smile on their face or a scowl on their face, whatever. At the end of the day, just get the job done.
Yeah, I don't think that really has an effect on the dugouts, in the dugout, if those guys are smiling and joking. It's not as if the Blue Jays were losing by 20 runs. I can understand, you know, a situation where, you know, if guys are having a tough night like that, you don't want to be cracking jokes. But the Blue Jays were still playing pretty well at that point and, you know, feeling good and feeling confident about themselves. So I know people love to read into that when guys are smiling. Don't smile when you're playing a baseball game. Can't do that. Of course, that's on the no-no list. If it's too close of a game, you can only smile when you're up by 13 runs. But yeah, not reading too much into that one as well. Patrick from Thornton says, has the high performance department taken the season off? All the high performance arms are laid up now, leaving us with gas cans. Jordan Romano is quite the loss. And yeah, definitely going to agree with that one. The HP department has been taking a ton of heat all season long, Josh. It's, you know, sort of been a running joke at times over the last couple of years with some of the injuries this team has dealt with, you know, this year specifically with George Springer and all the relievers that we just talked about that have landed on the shelf this year. But haven't really talked about the guys that, you know, have been playing. I mean, Vladdy Jr. hasn't missed a game yet. Marcus Semien's been pretty healthy. Bo Bichette's been pretty healthy. Randall Grichuk as well. Outside of COVID, Teoscar's been healthy. There's been a lot of guys that have been healthy. People love pointing at the negative here. So, you know, I'm going to give the high performance department a bit of a break. And I'm also going to mention the fact that, you know, players are getting hurt all around Major League Baseball. What did we see tonight? Max Scherzer left after 12 pitches. Jacob deGrom left with an injury as well. Like, those guys are superstar players. Like, why are we not talking about the high performance department in Washington or the high performance department in New York with the Mets? Like, injuries are just up around the game everywhere right now. And at the moment, it's just crushing the Blue Jays.
Especially when it comes to pitching, the human arm is just not designed to throw 100 mile an hour pitches or mid 90s and then sliders, which put a ton of stress on the arm as well. I'm not going to blame the high performance department for pitching injuries. Pitching's just, it's the nature of the beast. Guys get hurt. The George Springer quad oblique issue, I don't know exactly when it went on there. I can put some blame on some people in that situation. Not shutting it down when he had the abdominal tightness in spring, I thought that was a mistake. Bringing him back too soon when he clearly wasn't ready from the quad strain, I thought that was a mistake. So if you want to get on them about that, be my guest. But pitching injuries, that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to Major League Baseball. I don't think you can blame a medical department or training staff or sports science, high performance, whatever. Pitchers just get hurt. That's just the way it is.
Garrett from Calgary says, really don't care if they're trying to stretch Pearson out. He's a fireballer who can throw a couple innings of middle relief. Bring him back now. What are your thoughts on Nate Pearson coming back as a bullpen arm?
Panic move. I understand that you feel as though if I had a panic button right now in my studio, I would be hitting it. But, you know, I just don't think that that's the right move. Nate Pearson, his best future is as a starter. We all still think coming off of a good start. Just continue letting him build confidence. This yo-yoing of coming up, going down, coming up as a bullpen piece, but we still think you're a starter. I just say let him go as a starter for as long as you can at AAA until he's ready to come back up as a starter. And don't worry about, well, we could really use some bullpen help, and he's been good. He was good in the playoffs last year out of the bullpen. I'm not a fan of that. I say keep him as a starter. I still think he's going to be a really good major league starter. And to me, that just reeks of panic.
Yeah, and I get that you're in a situation where you need bullpen arms. It's a big need, obviously. There's no doubt about it. But if you decide that Nate Pearson's all of a sudden going to be a reliever, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ross Stripling or Steven Matz goes down, then, hey, you've got to build him back up. And, you know, that might not be great because now you've, you know, asked him to pitch out of the bullpen. At least have him there for depth. You've got Patrick Murphy, you've got Thomas Hatch that can come in and fill in potentially. We might even see those guys over the next couple of games here. Who knows? As the Blue Jays definitely need some relief arms at this point. They fall to the Red Sox tonight, 6-5. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links and Hunger Down to the Minors and Feed Your Wild Side. Blue Jays back at it tomorrow in game two of the series. Steven Matz squaring off against Nick Pavetta. It's a 4:10 p.m. Eastern first pitch on the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Show Ali, Tom Young, Josh Goldberg, I'm Rob Wong. Thanks for all the texts. Blue Jays fall to the Red Sox 6-5.